Welcome to the new All In Foods podcast from the Food Decisions Research Laboratory. Food is a defining element of our existence. Gaining a deeper understanding of what food means to us as individuals can help inform us and create empathy and appreciation for one another. This is All In Foods.
Hi, my name is Amit Sharma at the All In Foods Studios of the Food Decisions Research Laboratory at Penn State School of Hospitality Management. Welcome to today's podcast from University Park, Pennsylvania, in the midst of this unprecedented COVID-19 crisis. As per our mission to inform, communicate, and educate each other to make better and safe food decisions, we come to you today with hopefully some more more advice to make informed choices to deal with this crisis. Sustainable goal development goals number 2, 3, and 12 that relate to zero hunger, good health and well-being, and responsible production and consumption appear to be the most appropriate for our podcast as we respond to the need for reliable information during this crisis. In this podcast, I'm here to talk to my colleague here at Penn State University, Mr. Martin Bucknovich, who is the Senior Food Safety Extension Associate at Penn State Extension in the College of Agricultural Sciences at Penn State University. Mr. Bucknovich has worked extensively with the food industry for over 20 years, supporting the industry in the area of food safety, and has been at Penn State for over 13 years in this field. He has a master's in science, specializing in food microbiology from Virginia Tech, my alma mater, and an MBA from Penn State University. He's also a certified instructor for FSMA through the Food Safety Preventive Control Alliance and for ServSafe. Mr. Bucknovich, welcome to All In Food Studios. It's a pleasure to have you today on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So as I noted earlier, we are certainly in these unusual times when we are looking for the more reliable information, particularly when it relates to food safety. And one thing that all of us are responding to is that restaurants are shut down. And so we are getting more food delivered or picking up from food from restaurants. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about food safety in the current context. So if I may ask you to begin with, is there a way that the COVID-19 virus make its way into food delivered directly to our house?
Yeah, the COVID-19 virus is a respiratory virus. And that being said, the CDC has stated that really at this point, there's no evidence that food or food packaging, as a source for this virus. And really delivering food or picking up food is really a great way to keep restaurants, keep food service operations in business. And so, the risk is very low. However, that being stated, it's important to note that, there has been studies that show that the virus can survive on cardboard for up to a day, on plastic for up to 3 days. Now, of course, there's temperature and humidity issues that go along with that. So it's important for people who are handling food to make sure they wash their hands. Consumers who take in food, of course, to make sure that they, throw the packaging away and wash their hands. But the risk, again, is very low for product that is going to be delivered, to your house.
So the same question for food pickup. Do you see that being any different, food delivered, food pickup?
No, not really. The same things apply there. Again, that we don't expect that the food is going to be a source of the contamination or the packaging. Now, I think one of the things for food being picked up, of course, operations have to keep in mind that they have to make sure that they enforce social distancing, allowing people who come into the place to have ample room between the person who's serving the food and the customer, as well as between customers. And also to make sure that there's good cleaning that goes along with that. So making sure that the counters are clean and the doorknobs and the, common use surfaces there are, those are being disinfected on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important to note. You mentioned that oftentimes the virus can stay on surfaces for a long period of time. I think there's so much information coming our way. that there's a recent finding that on certain surfaces, they even found it to stay for up to 17 days. Is that something?
Well, I know the study that was just recently published by the CDC, or published by NIH in the New England Journal of Medicine. And looking at this specific virus, you know, the researchers found that, you know, on cardboard up to 24 hours, on plastic, stainless steel, up to 3 days. Now, it could be longer. Other studies have shown other coronavirus species have lasted longer. Certainly, this was probably a study that was done, one study that was done. So, we can't expect that it may survive. Certainly can survive in freezing conditions for, a long period of time as well.
Understood. Now, can the coronavirus actually get into food, and can we eat it and get infected?
Yeah, I mean, being a respiratory virus, they don't see this, again, this is a huge risk. Generally, this is going to be something that's either going to be aerosolized, where we pick the virus into our respiratory system, or it's going to be on a surface where we touch the surface and then we touch our mouth and we touch our face, then transferring the virus to us. So being, the food that is going to be digested, it's not really seen as currently seen as a source.
Okay. So for our listeners, here's a little quiz for today's podcast. When was the hand sanitizer invented? I will share the answer with you at the end of this podcast. So another question that I had was on this regard, are there certain types of packaging that is more, and I know you spoke about this earlier.
I think that the type of packaging really kind of goes, as they say, something that's going to maintain the moisture of the organism longer. So when you think about plastic or you think about a stainless steel surface that, maybe that organism won't dry as fast. It may last a little bit longer on cardboard. Of course, it's, a drier surface, it'll dry faster. I mean, I think it's really hard to look and say this packaging is going to be worse than that packaging. I think from our perspective, a lot of it comes down to the basics, of course, which is hand washing, making sure that we cover our mouths, when we're, when we sneeze or when we cough, those things go a long way. And really counting on the packaging is not something that I think we'd sit around and really consider to a great degree.
Okay. Now, what advice do you have for restaurant employees? And I know you spoke a little bit earlier about that too, but what advice would you have for restaurant employees who are still working to prepare food for delivery and drive-through pickups?
Yeah, I think, the basics are in place. I think one of the first things, of course, is hand washing, making sure people wash their hands. CDC is recommending 20 seconds of scrubbing your hands with, lathering up with a good soap. And then, of course, when we're handling ready-to-eat foods, wearing gloves along with that to make sure that we're not spreading anything, to the food or to the food packaging. Of course, another big consideration is monitoring the health of employees. Is an employee monitoring your own health to make sure that you don't have a fever, that you don't have a dry cough, or anything else along those lines, but also monitoring who you're coming in contact with. One of the things that they've seen in China is the fact that a lot of the virus spread has been from people who are considered asymptomatic. And we see this in a lot of the younger people where maybe they don't get the symptoms as bad as an older person. And those people can be the potential spread of viruses, if they should be asymptomatic. So it's important to make sure that you monitor your own health, and also monitoring who you're coming into contact with. If you come in contact with somebody who is ill, there's a chance that you may have been picking that up. The other thing, of course, that goes along with that is social distancing. Maintain social distance, not only in the workplace, but also when you're out, when you're out in public, so that you don't have the chance of picking that virus up and unknowingly, spread that to your customers. And then finally, of course, as we mentioned, environmental cleaning, making sure we're cleaning all of those surfaces regularly, making sure that we, any of the contact things, the people where they come in through the door, the counters where they touch, of course, when we're handling money, making sure that we have gloves on when we're handling money, You know, all of those touch points, we have to make sure that we have those under control as well.
Those are really good points. In general, what are the main concerns you would probably emphasize, you know, as you advise both consumers and restaurant employees related to food and drink consumption in the current context?
So, you know, of course, the main concern is people. Somebody who has the illness is going to spread it to somebody who doesn't. And again, this is a respiratory virus that can spread from person to person. And again, as we mentioned before, somebody who's asymptomatic, especially the younger people who may have come in contact with somebody who has the disease, they have to know that they have the ability to spread this virus. So we always have to be cognizant of the fact of, again, who we're interacting with, you know, other people who may be sick that, you know, we come in contact with, and again, monitoring our own health. We don't want to be the source of contamination, you know, to any of the customers coming in, again, especially through, you know, aerosolizing it or through, you know, through touch or whatever. And again, with old people, that especially a lot of our customers who are living food too, or who are coming into our shop to pick up food, these are the folks who are going to be more apt to become ill. You know, people who are older, people who have underlying health symptoms. You know, these people, when they get it, it can be a very, very deadly disease.
You know, I was doing the research for this podcast. I found that some of the most infected, if you want to call it, surfaces when we're handling food can be the chopping board or the counter where you work with the food. Would you agree with that, given your experience working with the industry?
I think your normal cleaning procedures will normally handle that. I think for this virus, I think the big issues come down to a lot of those contact surfaces where people are coming into, you know, that are heavy use things. It could be in your restroom facilities. It could be on your countertop. It could be, you know, your service counter. You know, where you place the products at, you know, the doorknobs. And this, again, this respiratory virus is going to be on somebody's hand, you know, somebody coming in from the outside who's maybe not washing their hand like you are, you know, in your shop. So again, cleaning all of those surfaces as much as you're cleaning your food contact surfaces.
Well, this was certainly very interesting and fascinating. It seems like the bottom line here continues to be social distancing as much as possible. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Social distancing, good hand washing, and then monitoring your condition of your health, especially if you're going to go into the workplace. If you're not feeling great, you're not feeling good, you know, you want to make sure you're tracking that. And you know, if you're not feeling good, you want to certainly stay home from work.
Thank you very much. This was extremely informative, and I hope the audience also learned something out of this. We appreciate you joining us today for this discussion, Mr. Buckenbridge.
Thank you so much.
And before we leave, the answer to my question is, while alcohol has been used to sanitize hands since ancient times, it was only in 1966 that gel was found as a way to use alcohol to sanitize hands on the go. However, it was not until the 1980s that the first commercial hand sanitizers were available in the market. Any guesses how we sanitized hands before this? You are right, by using soap and water. In fact, there's a proper way to use hand sanitizers. You can find more information on how and when to use hand sanitizers versus washing hands with soap and water by visiting the Center for Disease Control website or just Google CDC hand washing and hand sanitizer use. And for audiences, always make safe and informed choices. Above all, please stay healthy and cheerful as we fight our way back to normalcy through this pandemic. Until next time, from the All In Food Studios, this is Amit Sharma. Thank you for listening.